Northwestern Medicine, relentless in their pursuit of better health care. Learn more at nm.org/better.
But right now it's Dr. Jeffrey Copen's turn, the chief medical officer over at Northwestern Medicine's Lake Forest Hospital. Northwestern Medicine, relentless in their pursuit of better health care, sponsors these conversations. And, doctor, it's always good to talk to you. Hope you got through the storms last night okay.
We survived. We survived. It's the summer in Chicago, right? This is going to happen.
It really is, although we asked our listeners to grade their summer, and the people who gave it a bad grade, A through F, were just saying that it was either too cool in June or now it's been too hot in July. A to F, doctor, what do you give your summer so far on a personal level?
My summer is always an A, John. It's summer. It's going to be hot. It might be a little bit too cool. All I know is it's not December and January.
Thank you.
I'm very happy.
I'm going swimming later today, so I'm looking forward to a more warm days here in Chicago. Nearly half of adult cancer deaths in the United States could be prevented by making lifestyle changes, according to one study. Nearly one in five new cancer cases are among adults 30 and older in the U.S. that could be attributed to smoking, according to a new study. I guess that's no news to you, huh?
No, it's how many years, decades now, have we known of the connection between cigarette use and just bad disease, including cancer? It's since the 1960s. So what are we now, in the sixth decade since then, if you count it up?
Yeah.
It's the fact that we still have so many cigarette smokers in this country truly is a public health problem. And that people who smoke go on to develop cancers, and we know heart disease and strokes and all kinds of other things. But the importance of this study was updating what we've known for a long time, that lifestyle, overall lifestyle, absolutely, if the lifestyle is not healthy, can lead to various cancers. So smoking, obviously, obesity is a risk factor for cancer. We've known that for a long time, and it's fascinating why. Lack of physical exercise actually is a risk factor for cancer. It's not as obvious, say, as cigarette smoking, but it's still there. Eating well, you know, getting the fresh vegetables, staying away from too much meat and fried foods, that kind of lifestyle stuff actually can mitigate against the risk of cancer.
Yeah, the research analyzed 18 modifiable risk factors, 18 things you and I can do against 30 types of cancers. And some of it is obvious, like, okay, don't smoke, don't eat fatty foods, don't drink too much, exposure to sunlight can damage DNA and lead to skin cancer, for example, while fat cells produce hormones that can feed certain cancers. When you see somebody laying out in the sun, you don't think of them as being as foolhardy as somebody smoking. But I guess we're kind of getting an education on skin cancer, aren't we?
Yeah, and this education we've been getting for many, many years. I mean, to go out and to lay in the sun and not to be wearing an effective sunscreen is asking for trouble. What the UV light, a particular type of UV light in the sun, can actually damage our skin, and over years can lead to various skin cancers, including melanoma, which can be a very terrible skin cancer, and there's a direct correlation between sun exposure, particularly unprotected sun exposure, and cancers like melanoma.
You know, and so many of us, though, got that kind of sun exposure years ago. You know, I mean, like, okay, I'm smarter now, but I wasn't when I was 12. Does that linger? I mean, does that early sun exposure stay with you as a risk factor for the rest of your life?
Yes. That early damage to the skin can, it doesn't necessarily happen, but can lead to later in life skin cancers. This is why we really recommend that people get total body skin exams by a dermatologist to look for early signs of skin cancer.
Yeah, and it doesn't. And I do this all the time, or every 6 months or so. But I mean, it'll take my dermatologist at Northwestern. She's terrific. 5 minutes, 10 minutes. I mean, you just go in, just make that appointment like a dentist appointment, like clockwork. And then they just you take off your shirt and your trousers, and they look up and down. And if you got a problem, they address it. And if you don't, you will see again in 6 months or a year, whatever the whatever your risk factor is.
And the dermatologist will say, as you're going out the door, don't forget to wear your sun protection.
Yes, she does. And I've learned the hard way to do just that. But you know, we were talking earlier, doctor, about smoking versus vaping. And I said that if somebody were to do one, better that they vape than they smoke. I don't know what you think about my logic on that. What do you think about that?
Well, there's probably something to that, depending what it is we're trying to improve. So we know tobacco use, smoking cigarettes, as we just said, is a major, major risk factor for cancer, heart disease. So vaping would seem to have less of a risk. However, there are so many different chemicals in vaping, certain things that we're not even sure about and certain things that were positive are bad for people. Mm-hmm. Although vaping might be better for somebody who's currently smoking, it's only relatively better. I would not recommend that anybody vape and say, hey, look at me, I'm vaping. This is way better for me than smoking cigarettes. Yeah, it's better than smoking cigarettes, but it's still not good for you. I'm positive that there are plenty of, unknown health ramifications of regular vaping.
Let me change the subject. The new trend in preventative health care is getting an MRI scan. There's companies that will say, come on in and we'll go up and down your body and see how you're doing. And it might cost you a couple thousand dollars. There's celebrity influencers like Kim Kardashian who are talking about companies like Prenuvo, where you get a body scan. What is your thought about that, doctor?
Every decade or so, there are companies like this one that will come up with the newest, best things for people who have the cash to do allegedly to make the early diagnosis of bad disease. And sometimes that can happen. The problem is when you look at the statistics of doing screening of an otherwise healthy population, you are going to find more incidental findings that require follow-up than real disease that requires treatment at that time. So, John, about 20 years ago, there were companies that sprung up, particularly in places where people go for the winter, so Scottsdale, South Florida, that were CT scanners where they would say, pay me $2,000 and I'll CT scan your entire body to make early diagnosis. Well, there were some early diagnoses that were made, but more importantly were the incidental findings that were not pathologic at all, was not an illness, but required lots of follow-up with all the anxiety and expense that go along with that. So the CT scan thing went away. Now we have companies that are offering the same thing using magnetic resonance or MRI machines, doing the exact same thing that these companies were trying to use CT scans. There are no data to say that this is effective. There are no data to say that this is something that will save lives. So I'm not a proponent of this. I don't think it's a good idea for people to do it because I don't think that there's really an upside, but there's a significant downside due to all the incidental findings.
We're just talking with Dr. Jeffrey Copen over at Northwestern. He's not a big proponent of these new companies that will give you a full body MRI scan, take about an hour, cost a couple thousand dollars. I thought maybe wouldn't they catch a cancer or a bad blood vessel or something in there, doctor?
It's certainly possible, John. But really what this comes down to is what is the likelihood of finding something important that will require an intervention that's potentially life-saving or morbidity preventing, you know, someone having a stroke, say, from a ruptured artery in their brain, mm-hmm. versus how many of those tests do we need to do to find that one case where we actually can do something? And along the way, if we have to do, and there are no data on this, but let's say we have to do 1,000 studies to find the one early pancreatic cancer that we could cure. What are we going to find in those other 999 patients that are incidental findings yet require follow-up? That's really the issue.
Follow-up meaning another examination. Follow-up meaning another examination or something like that. But
that's right.
But we'll find out that
we're talking here of a general population, the Kim Kardashians of the world. We're not talking about somebody, say, who has smoked cigarettes his or her entire life. Now we have an actual protocol, John, of using chest CT scans in that population after the age of 50 to look for early signs of lung cancer when we can easily cure lung cancer. That's a totally different situation because that's a high-risk population. If we're starting with a general population where the vast majority of people are not going to be high risk, I believe we're asking for trouble. Now, if somebody wants to do it and they have the cash, the $2,000 to $2,500, which Ms. Kardashian obviously has, God bless, go do it. But then you're going to have to deal with what might be found and having to do that kind of follow-up. So this test is not ready for prime time. I really would recommend to somebody who's thinking about doing it, think long and hard about it. Talk to somebody like me who is not a proponent of it before you go ahead and do it.
It's interesting. All right, Dr. Copen, always good to talk to you. Always interesting insight. And I appreciate you joining us. Can you come on next Tuesday?
I'm looking forward to it. And everybody, if it rains, don't complain. It's summer in Chicago.
Dr. Jeffrey Copen is the Chief Medical Officer at Northwestern Medicine's Lake Forest Hospital.